I mean, who would have thought Gnarls Barkley at Cross Point? I mean, did you ever think Gnarls Barkley would? Brendan, did you ever think Gnarls Barkley would be played at Cross Point?
No, I can't say. I like PJ with the falsetto there.
That was nice. I don't know if that's disco or blues. I don't know which one it is, but it sounds like the Bee Gees to me.
It's both.
All right. Well, you know, Gnarls. If you're not familiar with Gnarls Barkley was the guy. They dressed up in Star Wars uniforms during their concerts. I mean, these guys were crazy, and that's what we're talking about right now. We're on this crazy journey, and you know, we're in week six of one of the most important things that Cross Point does all year. We take these journeys, we go someplace, and the whole community here gets on the same page. We talk about something in service on the weekends. We talk about the same thing in our life groups and community during the week. And then many of you are processing through the journals where every day you're working through some of the prompts that are allowing us to continue to take steps forward in this crazy journey. And then in case, if you have kids in Upstreet or Wamba, you know, your kids are processing on this journey as well. I mean, they're learning about what it means to be givers, savers, and to fuel what God's doing, and we're trying to build into them. You can have those conversations at home as well. And, you know, one of the things that is really unique about what we're doing right now is what's going to happen over the next couple weeks, the next 2 weeks, will literally impact the trajectory of Cross Point for decades to come. In fact, how we respond over the next couple weeks will impact people all throughout our community for years and generations to come. And so it's a big time. And take a look at these lyrics from that song real quick. Third verse, I don't know if you caught them as they were singing it here, but it says, "My heroes had the heart to lose their lives out on a limb, and all I remember is thinking I want to be like them." I mean, kind of interesting words. I mean, we all want to be a hero at one point or another, right? And, you know, as we think about the crazy journey, we have the chance to do that. And so I have Brendan Harbin, our campaign, crazy campaign director, meaning crazy. I don't know if Brendan's crazy or not, but he's the crazy campaign director. And he's going to answer a few questions for us because we have a chance to invest and kind of be that hero. I mean, we have a unique opportunity right now, those of us that are part of this community, to make a crazy impact in the years to come. Help us understand what that looks like as you've processed for a little bit longer maybe than the rest of this community has.
Sure. So, yeah, I'm probably a little strange. I'm not sure I want to go crazy. But at any rate, hey, one of the things I think we have to do with this is there's some risk out there for us. And I think that's true with all investing. If you want any kind of good return on your money, there's some risk out there. And our risk is obviously we don't do everything we want to do with this campaign. I think we're going to do that, and we're going to blow through those numbers. And that's our opportunity here, basically, is to be investors in something that has an impact that far exceeds, hopefully, even our lifetimes in the number of people that we get to affect over the next, you know, 5, 10-plus years. This is the item that, you know, takes us from Cross Point as a community of, I don't know, I think we've been averaging 300 a week or so for the last number of weeks. It takes us from a community of 300, maybe to a community of 700 or 1,000 going out 3 or 5 years. We don't know what God has in store for us. But we do know our job is to prepare for what's going to happen. One thing that I'm very much looking forward to is that opportunity to put invitations out to people to say, hey, I really want you to come to Cross Point. Let me tell you about all the things they've got over there. They've got this huge new youth area that is absolutely fantastic. There's this cool little coffee cafe that's open all the time that we can just get together at. Why don't we just meet over there? We'll have a cup of coffee and talk about stuff. So, you know, that list of things goes on and on. I don't know exactly what they are right now. Kurt has some idea, but probably he doesn't have everything there either. But I think it's going to be cool, and I can't wait for that opportunity to invite the next wave of people to Cross Point and to see everything that they're going to see on a weekly basis.
Yeah, you know, yesterday we had the class. Let's hear for the class of 07, those of you that were the class of 07. Even if you didn't attend the party yesterday, we were glad you were part of the class of 07. And, you know, we had a party yesterday for the class of 07. It was kind of cool because the class of 07 are kind of the senior group here at Cross Point. And you had the chance to, in a unique way, help this thing get off the ground. And many people that have come since have said, man, it must have been really cool to be a part of that first, you know, few months when things launched. Well, you know, this is a unique opportunity to be a part of this next season and kind of propel us into that next orbit of Cross Point's existence. So a unique thing. You know, one of the other questions that's come in a couple times over the last week even is people saying, you know, what is, you know, what's kind of an anticipated average commitment level? I mean, what's kind of a ballpark number of what it's going to take to make this dream happen, this $500,000 happen, you know, from families here at Cross Point? And can you give us any insight into that?
Yeah, if you've got $500,000, come see me up immediately afterwards and we'll hit that goal that way. That'd be great. Now, there's probably not a great answer to this question. We're thinking about this. Kurt and I have talked about this 3 or 4 times and said, gosh, what do we tell people? And so we came up with a really bad analogy, or at least I did. So
we're just honest with you, brutally
honest. Yeah, right. Up front, this doesn't count. So I said, you know, look at the kind of car you drive. What could you sell it for right now? Maybe that's a good number. Here's the problem with this analogy, okay? So Some of you are driving cars nicer than you should be driving, especially after Joe Sangle's talk, all right? So for you, maybe that's not reasonable. And then some others of you, I know you're just cheap, okay? So you're driving a car, you could be able to afford to drive a nicer car, okay? So maybe that's not appropriate for you. Maybe it should be a little more. So the answer is, I don't have a good answer for you as far as what you should do. Let me give you a little bit of a, maybe a way to think about this. Clearly, if you're married, you should be talking to your spouse about this. If you're not married, not only your you should talk to God about it, kind of solely, maybe a friend, get their advice on it. Everybody should be talking to God about this. When we originally started, I've had maybe a little more time to digest this because we were working on this for 6 weeks before we rolled it out to the church. And we've got our commitment in stone as far as what we're going to do. But I'll say there was two different numbers floating around out there. There was Brendan's number, because I, like you, am cheap. And then there's God's number out there, too. And one of the things we had to process, Jen and I talked about, we had to process where was that number. And I'll tell you, my number, God's number, was 2.5 times the amount of what my number was. So as you pray about it, you think about it, figure out what that is for you. You know, the other thing I'll put there is you're going to budget this out. You're going to say, okay, this is what I can do comfortably. Maybe, like Kurt, you gave up the cable TV or whatnot. So you said, okay, so there's $60 a month or whatever that amount of money is for you that you're going to push in. You're going to get to the end of it, and you're going to say, okay, this is where I feel comfortable because everything's in line. And then God's going to come back to you and says, God's going to say, hey, I want you to push in another $1,000, $3,000, I don't know, $20,000, great. God's going to push you to do a little bit more. And you're going to go, God, I'm not comfortable with that. I don't know where that's coming from. And let me just say, God doesn't expect you to be comfortable with that number. Because when it comes out, you know, there's another $3,000 in there, and you don't know where it's going to come from. I truly believe God's going to bless you over the next 3 years, and it's going to become very apparent where that money's coming from, and you're going to like, wow, I had no idea, God, thanks so much. And maybe it's a lot more than you committed, but I know that that's out there. You know, our risk here is that we don't do what we need to do. I think we can do it. I think it's a reasonable number, but I know it's a stretch at the same time. So I am certain, though, that if we pray about it and think about what God wants us to do with that, that we're going to achieve that goal.
And basically, as we're saying, you know, whatever we choose to do, whatever God kind of lays on your heart, that's significant. I mean, it's not going to be equal, but it's significant, and that's all God asks of us. June 6th, big day?
Absolutely. So June 6th, crazy, crazy party day, basically, okay? So we've been through this. We talked about it. Good gosh, we've been talking about it. You're probably sick of it, right? So anyway, June 6th is the end of this. This is the most important day for you to be here. We're going to announce what the results are that day of everybody and our work together, and I think I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a fantastic day. I think later today you guys are actually getting some cards to fill out. You know, do not fill those out if it's your number today, okay? Go back and pray about it. Turn the cards in next week. You can turn the cards in June 6th if you're not going to be here next week for some reason. That's fine. So that's it. Just make sure you got it on your calendar to be here on June 6th.
If you've got questions, feel free to catch Brendan in the hallway as well as any of our staff team. Thanks, Brendan.
Great. Thank you.
Let's pray. God, you know, we're in this crazy, crazy journey right now, and you know, and there's moments where it's daunting, there's moments where we're like, man, we can do this, and yet, God, we know that whenever you have a dream, that you already have a plan of how it's going to be worked out. So help us today to just take that next step in seeing how you're going to accomplish this dream, how it includes us, because you always include us, you always invite us to be a part of what you're doing, God, and we just ask that you teach us and speak to us in these next few moments in your name. Amen. So as we've said each week, we're looking at some of the realities of what it's going to take to accomplish this God-sized dream that Brendan kind of just helped unpack for us. You know, it's a big stretch for a three-year-old community, and yet we believe God has a plan of how he's going to accomplish this, but it requires some things of us. And so, you know, I'm shooting straight on this journey. We're not guilting, we're not manipulating, but we're challenging. We're trying to bring each and every family unit here at Crosspoint to a sacrificial financial three-year commitment, whatever that might be, whatever number God might lay on your heart, to say this is how you're going to be a part of helping fuel this dream. And so, you know, take a look at these lyrics again from that song, Crazy. I mean, I love this line. My heroes had the heart to lose their lives out on a limb. All I remember thinking is I want to be like them. I mean, we all want a chance to be a hero, right? I mean, at some point in our lives, we want to have that chance to be a hero. And so we're going to take a look at two heroes today from the Old Testament. And you know, one of the unique things is that whenever God calls a community to move in such a way to accomplish this God-sized dream that requires him to show up in order for it to be accomplished, then it happens because people are willing to go out on a limb. I mean, it doesn't happen because people cower and get in the corner and say, God, I'm just going to stand here and watch you work. It's because people who are following, who are passionate about God, are willing to go out on a limb and trust that God is going to come through them. And so, as we look at this, there's a number of stories in the scriptures. We're going to go all the way back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 6 is where we find this first story. And remember the guy by the name of Noah? Remember Noah? I mean, you probably know the story of 2x2. He got all these animals, built this thing. But I want you to think about this for a moment. I mean, what would have happened if God would come to you today and say, hey, I want you to go into your backyard and I want you to begin to build this monstrosity of a boat in your backyard. All right, you're going to be hammering, nailing away day and night, making tons of noise. Pretty confident you're going to be violating your neighborhood covenants. I mean, you have to get approval to do these things these days. I had to get the approval to build a playset in my backyard, not to mention a huge monstrosity of a boat. And maybe even blocking the view, the expensive view that your neighbor paid for to see Geist Reservoir. I mean, just think of what this may have looked like today in this community if God would have said this to you. All in the name of Noah saying, well, I heard a voice that said, go and build a boat. Right? And sometimes we don't grasp the significance of this crazy calling that God had for Noah. I mean, consider this. This ark, this boat was 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. I mean, that's a monstrosity of a boat. And let me give you what that looked like in my backyard, all right? In my backyard, see letter A there, the little red letter A? That's my house, all right? That A means Kurt, all right? Kurt and Julie. That's my house on a cul-de-sac on Star Circle right there. And all my neighbors, and I was trying to visualize this and say, if I were to walk out my backyard and begin building this boat, here's right here what it would have looked like. All right, it would have taken up 12 of my neighbor's yard. It would have been sitting on half of my neighbor's houses to begin to build this monstrosity of a boat, all in the name of a calling, a crazy calling that God gave Noah. I mean, this is a three-story boat. I mean, that's about a seven-story boat right there. This is a three-story boat, and say for a crazy flood, and the rain wasn't even forecast yet, 1.5 million cubic feet inside that boat. And so Noah goes out, and he just begins building. I mean, you got this God-sized, crazy calling. And, people around him, I mean, think of what your neighbors would think. I mean, they would have thought you were absolutely crazy. And as I began processing through this thing, man, what would it be like to build that in my backyard? Well, I began to wonder, I wonder if Noah had any questions about whether he really heard appropriately from God. You ever wonder if he second-guessed himself? You ever wonder if he's like, God, did I really get that right? 450 feet long, or was it supposed to be 4.5 feet, a little robo? I mean, God, did I really get the math right on this? You ever wonder if he had any naysayers in his neighborhood? Anybody have naysayers in their neighborhood? I mean, I have a guy that walks around, and he's always looking at you. If you're out working in your yard, he's going to come and stop and just watch. In fact, a few years ago, I did a project in my backyard where I dug out a patio to put a patio in, and a couple of my neighbors, my great neighbors, walked over with shovels in hand, and they saw me working, just didn't come out and even ask, just walked across with like tools in hand, and just dove right in helping me on this. And then I had another neighbor who's a naysayer. I call him a naysayer, because he just walked out with nothing in hand and stood there for about 5 minutes just kind of surveying what I was doing. Didn't say a word, kind of, raise his eyebrows a few times, made me second, did I not cut that right? Is it not deep enough on this side? As I'm like leveling out the gravel, he begins to open his voice. He's like, I don't think you have it level on that side. And I'm sitting here and I'm biting my tongue, just telling him, wanting to tell him to go home. And every comment that comes out of his mouth is negative. It's questioning. It's making me second guess if I didn't do something right. And his last comment as he gets ready to walk away is, huh, I guess I know who to call if I ever have work to do around my house. I'm like, I don't need that. I mean, I'm sure Noah had a naysayer like that in his neighborhood when he's building this crazy monstrosity of an ark. And yet, there was something that defined Noah. What we see in Noah's life is that regardless of this crazy, crazy idea that God gave him and asked him to do, Noah obeyed. I mean, and God makes it very clear that obeying is very necessary in order to accomplish God-sized dreams. In fact, for Noah, despite how crazy the dream may have sounded, how crazy it was when maybe rain hadn't fallen in days or weeks, Noah followed the dream. And he listened. He heard God's voice. He then began to process the numbers, process the information. What does this mean? How am I going to do this? And then in the end, he ultimately had a choice to make. Am I going to do it? Or am I going to say, man, that's too crazy for me? I mean, take a look at Noah's experience here in Genesis chapter 7. In fact, if we back up to the last verse of chapter 6, they just kind of listed all the things that Noah's supposed to do, all the detail of how this monstrosity of a boat is supposed to be built out. And at the end of chapter 6, it says Noah did everything just as God commanded him, meaning how he built the boat. And then it goes into chapter 7. It says, the Lord then said to Noah, go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. Take with you seven of every kind of clean animal. You're like, whoa, wait. I thought there were two of every kind of animal on the boat. No, there were actually seven of every kind of clean animal. He says, take male and female, so each one has its mate. And then he says, take two of every kind of unclean animal, a male and female and its mate, or a male and its mate, and also seven of every kind of bird, male and female, to keep the various kinds alive throughout the earth. 7 days from now, I will send rain on the earth. For 40 days and 40 nights, I will wipe away the face of the earth, everything, every living creature I have made. And then it says this phrase again, this phrase that defines Noah. And Noah did all, operative word all, that the Lord commanded him. And so what we see about Noah right here, what we learn about this hero, there's nothing overly unique about Noah. What we see, though, the thing that defined Noah was that he was a difference maker, and he was a difference maker because difference makers obey God. And the result of this obeying, the result of Noah following this crazy dream, is this ark literally becomes the salvation for his entire family, not to mention the whole animal kingdom. I mean, it literally becomes the salvation. He repopulates the earth and becomes the salvation to humankind because he follows a crazy dream. I mean, when we think about what we're doing here at Crosspoint, it's kind of similar. We're asking you to take go on this crazy limb, on this crazy dream, to be the salvation for people all over our community. Fast forward a few hundred years, we see another hero who did something great. And in this story, what's so cool about this short story, the story of Moses and Aaron, it's a story we saw a few moments ago on this animated short that PJ put together for us a number of months ago, is that, you know, we see that this is a perfect example of the dreams, the God's dreams for his people, and how it requires courage to accomplish it. I mean, we've been processing, you know, what's our ultimate priority? Can we trust God? What does it mean to sacrifice? But it ultimately still comes to this point where we have to decide whether we're going to go forward with it or not. For crazy dreams are not accomplished unless we courageously and boldly continue to go forward. And so we see this in the Old Testament story of Moses and Aaron. And you know, even if you're fresh out of the gates and following God and you're still kind of working through what this whole God thing means to you, you've probably heard about this guy by the name of Moses. Moses was asked, basically, God said to him, he said, Moses, I want you to go and free my people Israel from the oppression and the slavery that they're under in Egypt. And so Moses hears this crazy voice, and he kind of says back to God, he kind of begins negotiating. He's like, God, are you talking to me? I mean, I'm an ordinary guy with a speech impediment. I can't say a single word without stuttering over it. And he kind of barters with God, and God's like, you're my man. I want you to go to Pharaoh, and I want you to tell him it's time to let my people go. I mean, if you're not familiar with the story, if you've ever seen all these pyramids out in Egypt, I mean, these were built on the shoulders of slave labor. The Israelite community, hundreds of thousands of slaves working day and night, 24 hours a day sometimes, 6 to 7 days a week, building these palaces for Pharaoh. And so Moses goes to the Pharaoh and says, hey, I've given this word from God. I want you to let his people go. And Pharaoh, after some bartering, eventually agrees that it's a good thing, and he lets them go, only to second guess and then begin to go after them and chase after this Israelite community. I mean, hundreds of thousands of people. And so time after time, these Israelites, as Moses is leading them to this place that God dreamed for them, known as the Promised Land, God says, I have a crazy dream, a land filled with milk and honey, and I want to take you to this place. And these people are just, they're in awe. I mean, they've never known that. They've only known a life of slavery. And yet they experience all these encounters. And, you know, here's the deal on their journey. Yeah, you know, Julie and I were talking last night, and she said to me, she said, you know, man, we're in week 6 of this journey. And, man, it feels like a long journey. Well, the Israelites, they were on a 40-year journey. You think 6 weeks is long? I mean, 40 years of journeying, of God constantly changing and informing and readapting their lives until they came to this point of just complete dependence on him. And that's kind of what we've been going through over the last 6-7 weeks. I mean, we've been going through this changing, this evaluating. It's not just about how much money can we give. It's about making sure that money doesn't have God's place in our hearts. And it's about making sure that we're in total, ultimate dependence on God. I mean, that's what a journey does. It brings us to those points. So here's what's unique about the journey of the Israelites. They are almost there. I mean, they've been traveling for 40 years, and they're almost to this place that God's been dreaming for them to occupy, and they begin to lose hope. They begin to kind of tucker out. And so here's what God says. He says, Moses, he says, I want you to choose 12 men, 12 men from the 12 tribes, and I want you to send them on this scouting mission to go in and take a look, just kind of survey this land that I've prepared for you to occupy. And so Moses goes out and he picks 12 guys. And you know, when I've read this for the first time, actually many times I've read this, and I thought that they did like a drawing of straws. And whoever got the 12 shortest straws, they were the ones that got to go in and kind of survey this land. But that's not how it was. I mean, these were the best of the best. These were the strongest of the strongest. Moses picked the guys who you know, had the charisma, who had naturally good hair. I mean, the guys that, you know, that could go in and could survey this land. I mean, these were not the peons of the group, all right? And he said, I want you to go into this land, and I want you to survey it and check out the property that God has been preparing for us. Well, you know what's interesting is this last week, we sent you on a reconnaissance mission. How many of you experienced the prayer experience this past week? Let me see your hands. A number of us in the group. If you have not gone on the prayer experience this week with your life group, you didn't download the audio, it's still up on our website. And you can download that, and it'll kind of guide you from your home through a prayer experience, through our community, where you're gonna come to this location, and then you're going to go on up to the Saxony Corporate Campus, and you're going to kind of survey and just begin to get a heartbeat for what God wants to do, this place that God is dreaming for this community. It's kind of cool because we often get reports back from our life group leaders, and they share with us what kind of their experience in their group was. And this was what one of our leaders wrote this week. They were kind of giving us an update on what their group experienced as they went on this this prayer experience. They said, when we got to Fall Creek Intermediate School, this location right here, they said the main parking lot was entirely full and then some because a Girl Scout ceremony was going on in the gym. They wrote, this is actually kind of cool because most in our group had never seen the parking lot full, and it helped them visualize the fact that eventually we're going to outgrow this space. And then we ended up at one of the office buildings up in the Saxony Corporate Campus, peering into a window of a huge empty space, and the excitement in our group just skyrocketed. One person even said, it's like how excited you get when you're building a house, and somebody else said, that's exactly what we're doing. And while we were driving around, the sky was half dark clouds and then some white clouds, with sun peeking through and then some clear sky, and it was a pretty dramatic line on the horizon. Someone noticed that the dark clouds were hovering over the school that we currently meet in, and the clear sun sky was shining on the new location. Kind of a cool experience. I don't know what's going on there, but it's almost like God was just kind of creating and shaping specifically for this group to get a picture of this promised land, this area that God's been dreaming for this community. So back to the Israelites, back to Moses, back to this reconnaissance mission. Here's what's really interesting about the Israelites at this particular place. God had been very clear with them, very clear that they were going to have to work for this land. He wasn't just going to hand this land over to them on a silver platter. He had some work to do in them. He wanted to create an ownership in them. He wanted to kind of increasingly help them understand that they needed to fully depend on him, and that was a part of the journey that they were going on. But he also told him, I mean, there's going to be a supernatural power with you. I'm going to go with you. In fact, I'm going to go ahead of you, and I'm going to prepare this land for you before you even get there. And so these 12 men, I mean, they go out to do this reconnaissance mission. I mean, they go into this land they've been promised. And they have their heads held high, and they go into this land, they survey it. And what's real fascinating is they come out of this land with their tail between their legs. I mean, something took place, something dramatic took place while they're surveying the land. And the Israelites left behind. I mean, when these 12 spies, in a sense, came back out, the Israelites left behind, they're like, hey, what did you see? Tell us what it looked like. I mean, we've been dreaming about this land. Just give us a picture. Give us some hope of what it's going to be like. And they're like, oh, it's a beautiful, beautiful land. I mean, it's truly a land just flowing with milk and honey. I mean, there are fat goats in every valley and on every hill. The vineyards are full of grapes. I mean, it's just a beautiful, beautiful valley. And there is absolutely no way. There are grade A country folk guarding every entrance. There's no way we're ever going to be able to take over ownership of this land. I mean, immediately what was all exciting to them began to become depleted, and they got discouraged because they thought, man, there is no way we're going to be able to overtake and take this land that God has promised us. And this is one of those places where I love this story because I can just imagine that there was a hush that fell over these hundreds of thousands of Israelites that were right on the edge of stepping into this promised land. And all of a sudden, these 12 spies are like, man, there's just no way. 10 of the 12 spies are like, yeah, I just don't see how we're going to get in there. Shaking their heads, one after another, saying, yeah. But then there were two. There were two that stepped aside. This is my favorite part of the story because this is the reality here. This is one of those reality moments where, you know, whenever we're doing something big for God, we're courageously going out on a limb and we're ready to maybe take that step boldly forward, there begin to be doubts that begin to creep in and cause us to feel like, man, there's no way we can accomplish this. This is what set into the Israelite community. 10 of the 12 guys were like, there's no way. But then there was Jacob and there was Joshua. And they had a different picture. In fact, here's what it says in Numbers chapter 14. when they got the chance to speak, it says, and they said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored, it is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid. What Caleb and Joshua saw was drastically different than the rest of the spies. I mean, what they realized is that God had a dream for this people, and it was going to require some courage. It was going to require some risk-taking in everyone in that tribe in order for that community to take the step over into the promised land. But you see, these two guys, Caleb and Joshua, they understood something. They understood this reality that develops when we courageously and boldly go after something. And the reality is this, that when we begin to take these steps, the enemy of our soul will immediately begin to attack us with seeds of doubt and questioning thoughts. I mean, it's happened to me. I mean, last week I shared with you what our sacrifices are, what Julie and I have kind of clearly come to, what we're going to be committing to this crazy campaign. And I'd be lying to you if I didn't tell you a couple times this week I've already thought about, man, what would it look like if I could just renege a little bit? Or I had some questions. Somebody said to me, do you really have to give that? I mean, I explained this to somebody in my family this week, and they just didn't get it. They didn't understand why I was giving up my race ticket next weekend. Like, oh, wow, well, okay. It began to plant seeds of doubt in my mind. Joshua and Caleb, they understood this. You know, for many of us, God has began speaking very clearly. I mean, we've been journeying. We've been asking you to pray, to process, and begin to listen and say, God, what is that number? What's that commitment level, that financial sacrificial number that you're asking me and or my family to commit into this crazy dream? And I have a feeling God has began to get pretty clear with many of us. In fact, I've heard some of the stories on that. And yet, if you're a normal human being, you already are beginning to have doubts on that number. I mean, it's a natural thing to begin to get excited about and then to begin like, man, can I really do that? Can I really come through? There's no way that I'm going to be able to do that, or we're going to be able to do this. Because in every innovative endeavor, whenever we take bold steps, there always comes that defining moment where we decide, are we going to obey what God's asking us to do? Or are we going to pull back? You know, when Julie and I, when we were launching Crosspoint early on, this thing started as a dream, and then this team began to gather around us. I mean, by the time we launched, we had like 48 adults that had gathered around this crazy dream, and people were going in all kinds of directions, connecting with the community, building systems within our teams that were going to help us launch here on this location. And I remember coming to a very defining moment. In fact, I had a conversation with a friend, and they said, you know, Kurt, how did you know and when did you know that Crosspoint was going to be successful? I thought, wow, that's an interesting conversation. It didn't take me long to begin to think back only about 2 weeks earlier when I'd come to that place of us just burning the candle at both ends and many on our team doing the same thing, having a lot of late night phone calls, conversation, working until 2 or 3 in the morning many times, just not enough time of the day to get everything in motion and the momentum built that was needed for launch. I remember coming to this defining moment where I was in a prayer time with God, and I just kind of pleaded out to God. I said, God, we've given everything you've asked us to do. We've done everything you've asked us to do. From this point forward, it's in your hands. And it was like there was just this spirit that came over me, and God said, I've got control. It's going to go. And it wasn't resting on what I could do, what we could do, what our team could do. It was just this simple moment where I relinquished control, and I simply said, God, we've obeyed everything you've asked us to do. That's all we can do. And from this point forward, you need to run with this thing. And I said to my friend, I said, it was at that moment that I had a peace that God was going to come through. And as I thought about that, I thought, you know, as I look back over our Julie and my's life together, I mean, our marriage life, you know, almost 14 years, I think about the impact that we've had the opportunity to have on groups of people at different stages of our lives. And the places where I see God move the most is when we are most courageous and acted most boldly. And what I also see in those seasons of our life is those are also the times where there were the most naysayers. The most people asking us, can you really do that? Do you really think God could do that? Do you really think that's a good idea? Again, when we were just dreaming about Crosspoint, you know, somebody who was reasonably close to us said to us, man, that's a crazy dream. I mean, who would go to a rock and roll church? And I said, hey, come look at us now. I said, it's facetious of me, right? But I would love to send an invitation and say, hey, just come and see what God has done. I mean, we rock out every week, and it's exciting to see what God is doing. Whenever we've stepped out boldly, there's always those naysayers. There's always a questioning voice that says, do you really think you can do that? And the question that we had to wrestle through, the question that each of us have to wrestle through in this journey is, am I going to obey? As crazy as it is, whatever it is God's asking me to do, am I going to see it through? Am I going to endure and obey what it is that God's asking me to invest? He recently heard a story as meeting with one of our consultants, and he was telling me a story about a pastor of a church. It's probably a church you'd be familiar with if I told you the name. I'm not going to share the name because it's not important. But they've had crazy impact in their community, just sharing the love of Christ with people all throughout their city. And they've been through a number of these kind of journeys, similar to what we're going through, where we're raising capital to follow this dream for God's next kind of new home for us. And as this pastor was sharing this story, he was talking about how he had a donor in his church that just gave a crazy amount of money, been blessed with an enormous amount of money, had a trust developed that he had positioned himself very well financially near the end of kind of the older years, senior years of his life. And one of the things that he did was he's very generous back to his church to the tune of like millions of dollars. And I can't even imagine what it would mean to have somebody donating to a church or a church needing millions of dollars. And what was fascinating, though, is he said this guy, every year when he would meet with his financial advisors, when he'd meet with his estate planners, when he'd meet with his tax preparers, he said they'd kind of get all of his documents in order for that current tax year, and then they would meet with him to kind of share his current financial position with him. And he said every year he was usually in a good position, but at the end of every conversation, every year, they would kind of pull him aside, and they said, you know, we all agree that this is just crazy that you give this much money to your church. And, you know, we think you need to kind of reconsider where you could allocate that, the other things you could do. And so he, you know, he went out of those meetings and he began to schedule a once-a-year meeting with his pastor. And his pastor said, you know, once a year, this guy'd schedule a meeting with me, come into my office, and he'd say, everybody around me, all the people that advised me what to do with my money, they pull me aside and they say, man, you are crazy to give this much money to your church. And he said, all I need you to do is I just need you to hear one time a year from you, I need you to tell me that I'm not crazy for investing in something that literally changes the trajectory of lives for eternity. And he said, it was one of those humbling moments where I sat across the desk and I said to this man, I said, there's nothing you could do to be a better steward of what you're doing. He said, you are literally investing in an entity that literally changes the hope of the world. There's no other entity in the world that comes close. And you know, it takes a lot of courage to hear that from your advisors and to follow that crazy dream anyway. And for many of us, you know, we've had those moments in our lives where maybe God's called us and he said, I want you to step out right here, and we've not come through. And you know, we're one of those critical phases in the season of Cross Point where each and every one of us are going to have to wrestle through that decision. Are we going to boldly go out on that limb for God? I want to invite you to take out your connection card, and on the back side, you know, we've got some next steps. And one of the prayers that we want to ask you to consider praying this week is one of the steps on here today. Are you willing to have an open, honest conversation with God this week about what it means to be bold and obedient in following his leading and your financial commitment to this crazy campaign? Because I'm confident, as Brendan said a few minutes ago, you know, that you're going to come up with a number, and then God's going to urge you to take a few steps further that's going to require you to say, man, God, short of you fully showing up in this, there's no way this can be accomplished. Maybe this is one of those moments where you're going to have to say, I'm going to boldly and courageously follow God. Can you take that step and pray that prayer every day this week? You know, one of the things we ask you to do is attend the June 6th celebration. If that's where you are and you're not sure where you're at yet in your commitment, but you say, man, I can definitely be here, then maybe that step's for you. You know, maybe you're interested in following God and Christ's example in baptism. Maybe you've seen people get baptized, and we're going to have a crazy baptism celebration June 13th, and maybe you've professed Christ, you made a commitment to follow Christ, but you've never taken that step. And it's kind of crazy for you to consider getting up in front of people to do this, but you'd like to find out more. Maybe that's your bold, crazy step today, is to find out more about that. And I know for some of us, there's probably some of us that still are at the point of needing to meet with a trained financial coach to help us just get financially free. So somewhere down the road, after we get free, we can begin to invest in what God's doing. And if that's a step you need to take, that's still an option available. And so take a moment, just process through and say, God, which of these do I need to do this week that will continue to help me take one step center and closer to the center of this crazy dream you have for Cross Point? As you're filling that out, our greeters are going to come and kind of pass a brochure down the row. And many of you have seen this. It's our brochure that kind of shares the details of what this crazy dream is. Inside of this today, you're receiving a commitment card. And Brendan referenced this earlier. And you know, we're not necessarily asking you to fill this out today, but we're getting this in your hands because we want you to have this in your hands as you begin to pray about what is it that God's financially and sacrificially asking me to do. And we want you to pray over the next couple weeks about what that commitment's going to be. We're going to redistribute these on June 6th, and it's going to be a crazy celebration as we bring our commitments to the table, bring what we have to the table for a first fruits offering as well as a three-year commitment to this crazy dream. And yet we want you to take the next 2 weeks to begin to process through this decision. And if you're not here on June 6th, if you're out of town, then we invite you to turn this in. You can turn it in today. You can turn it in next weekend so that we can tally that as we celebrate where our hearts are and how our hearts are just making God happy as we pursue this crazy dream here in a couple weeks. So take a few moments to process through your next steps. Look over this card. Begin to say, God, just awaken my heart to what it is that you would have me play in this crazy dream.